January 9th, Johnson County Cemetery District meeting. Any public comment? Then we'll move to the agenda. It's presented in front of you. We did just have one addition, the Nelson engineering letter, RE, the cremation garden project that Sean has for us.
Yeah, just add that maybe under the bottom of old business.
And my impression from your email, Bob, was that those could fit, those topics could fit under our discussion around irrigation system, or do you feel like they need a separate?
No, I just, what I'm trying to do here is make sure as a team, as we flow through this, we are aware this is a project. There are certain key things that we need to understand. And then just to make sure that we're getting consistent messages out to the community.
Right.
You know, planting seeds. Is there an opportunity down in KC that even though they want a desert landscaping, maybe there are some beautifications that can be done that keep it natural? The way I look at it is we're looking at an irrigation process that I don't think this community has seen very much of. So we're changing the dynamics, how
so
we
put
approach
that, it. It'll fit right under there.
Yeah.
In there.
So I just want to make sure that we always do that. We have to be very repetitive on the consistent things that we say. And so I just want to make sure that we continue to do
I'd
that.
I'd rather over-communicate this.
Yes, that is correct.
Great. So motion to approve the agenda is presented with that addition.
So moved.
Second.
I second that motion.
All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Great. So those of us that viewed the vouchers, could we get a motion to approve those vouchers as presented?
I move that we approve the vouchers that we just signed off on.
I'll second.
All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Look through these. There's the minutes that from the last meeting. Sean, any way in the future we could just like send those out the night before sometime?
You bet.
Seems like there's so much going on when we first get here. But.
I motion that we approve the meeting minutes from our January 12th, 2023 meeting.
Okay. So motion.
I'll second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Finance report.
Okay, we do not have on the balance sheet there, we do not have WireStar's December statement yet, so that it's not accurate, or the interest rate, and I don't know which way it went. We don't have anything coming due until August, that $22,000 that we have with MBS, Multibank Securities. Don't think there's anything out of the ordinary there. On the profit and loss detail, that's what you guys just saw there on the vouchers. I don't think anything needs reclassified, so that should be okay. One little funny thing to point out is that refund check for Carol Service, was that clear to everybody?
Yes.
So that kind of shows up as a negative income. And then on the profit and loss budget versus actuals, the next couple pages, we are 50% through the fiscal year as of the end of December. We have not yet received the December accounting check. I haven't received it for anybody yet, so I don't, that's why those numbers are all zero for December so far. When I do receive our, we'll record it as a December payment. A few line items that are over the 50%, other than the summer hours and the KC capital outlay, I don't think there's anything to that you guys are too concerned about. Unless there's any questions.
The insurance?
It was just an increase in insurance bar of over what we had budgeted. And do the new truck and that kind of thing.
Sure. Makes sense.
Was the KC overage due to the shop?
Yes.
Office?
Yes. And you guys are going to look at that when you do the amended budget. So mm-hmm. you
right.
fix that so it's not negative anymore.
Great. Thank you.
Any questions?
We have questions from online, Liz, Sheila.
Again, the guys are good.
Well,
I
can't hear her very well, but she's talking about the summertime help. Is there enough income for that?
No.
No.
To pay for
no.
wages? No. See, I can't hear.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll make her, like, join the table next
Sorry,
time.
Sorry, Sheila.
Would you please? I can't hear.
Nothing earth-shattering.
Okay. Okay.
I shouldn't say that. It was very earth-shattering and well presented.
It made the meeting.
Is there a motion to approve the financial report?
I make a motion to approve the financial report as presented.
I will second that.
A motion and a second. All those in favor, aye.
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 Opposed?
Sheila and Liz, jump in to make these motions if you want to.
Okay.
So the last two pages there, that's the amended budget. So whenever you guys want to do that.
Okay. I was kind of wanting to, I thought, and you guys tell me how you want to do it, but I thought we would do it at the end after we have all our discussion and stuff. I mean,
I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Know what we're...
Something
could
come up there.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, anything aside from the business items here?
No, just everybody sees a copy of Donetti's report there for Sexton report, and then mine is just what's on the agenda here. Really, as far as what's not in this packet, our big thing right now is tree pruning. Trees are dormant. We're going through, it looks like it's been many, many, many years since they've been pruned up. So the canopy, the top, has been done by the arborists that come through that did the saluting branches, which is for tree health, and has been great. Because we can't access those portions of the trees without our equipment. But still, we need to work from the ground up also. Those trees aren't getting the appropriate mulching. We're not able to trim appropriately. And actually, our mowers, when we're coming around them, will do direct damage to the limbs and branches. So we're taking all of that up. Our goal is to be able to stand at this front gate and look almost to the other end of the cemetery. So we're bringing it up about 12 feet. Anything that's a bush or a shrub, of course, we just are kind of manicuring. That's a big goal. And another reason being we're doing it right now is so when we do our sprinkler layout, those, especially on the pine trees, those boughs will not resist our water displacing out to where it needs to be. So instead of having the whole bough area blocking our water, we'll just have the trunk to work on. So that's our big project until pipe shows up. And that's about the nuts and bolts of my report.
Do you have questions for Sean?
Or Donetti?
Is she on?
Yes.
Sorry.
She's on.
Anything to add to your report there, Donetti?
It's in your packet.
Hmm.
This one might answer somebody.
Okay.
Sorry. No, I don't.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks for everything you do.
So,
and Sean.
You're welcome.
Old business, KC Gate.
Yeah, Liz, I don't know. Did you get my text message I sent you the other day?
I did. I just, we've been, I took some time off so we could get some projects done, and that's why I'm not up there today. I'm just so busy.
I just wanted to make sure
I'm
you
sorry.
Were able to get that drawing.
The only thing I'd like to do is maybe add like some cutout with some cattle and sheep or something, you know, a little western that would go like on the side, on the top of the side rails.
Right. So I did the wagon wheels just because that's what's in my head, but we could do sheep and livestock situation like that, you know, like maybe
some trees, you know, lots of places have like a little thing like that. I think that's pretty common with the with those iron workers.
Yep. And we'll be able to, one wonderful thing about this being metal, we're able to add or detract from it as time goes on. So just kind of a working situation there. And we did, I touched base with Garen the other day to say, well, if we were to do maybe not these additions cut in stone, but something similar like that cap post or, you know, cap beam across the top with some lettering and this type of stuff. And he said that that would come in under around the 20 number. So it would be the additional pipe and labor. It would add maybe $5,000 to his original number. So just kind of wanted to bring that to everybody's attention and keep it moving forward.
So instead of the 12 to 15,000, it might be 12 to 20?
Yeah,
something
I'd say
like
15
that.
To 20. Yeah. One other addition that he would need is, this is a, he'd need to have 50% down when and if we decide to do this. So that was just a added note in what he'd provided to me. Okay.
Where is that money coming from? I can't remember. We've
so,
talked about it, but I can't remember.
Right, we're actually, that's going to come up in the amended budget also.
All right, great.
Thanks, Sean, for sticking with that.
You bet. Yeah, I just like to keep that going forward. I'd love to have that finished for you this spring. And then the irrigation replacement discussion. So we have a requested for CPS to basically draft us a contract providing what we talked about at the last meeting, the price and what comes with that price. That's provided to you in the packet.
Thank you.
So we've got that for just added insurance for both parties, the vendor as well as us as the consumer. Anybody else want to chime in on that?
Do you see that in your packet there, the letter from CPS?
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm just going to move just real quickly over to the Nelson Engineering letter. That was something that Bob had the foresight to request that we have engineer at least on scene and look at our substructure and our concrete print to make sure that it was adequate to hold the weight that we were putting on and that those soils were not corrosive to the types of concrete we were using. Some other engineering issues that are above my cemetery sexton brain, but he was on site for the pouring, the digging, and all of that. He's been very helpful in that process. Nelson Engineering has done a lot of work for the cemetery in the past, and they were happy to donate that service to us. They would like.
Pro bono.
Very nice.
There we go.
Need
with
to,
that.
Thank you.
Keeping that in mind if we have any engineering projects that we can, you know, give them a shot at in the future.
Good. Yeah, that's good to have in our file.
Let's let Bob, I know you had some stuff you wanted to bring up about the irrigation system.
So this is me being a former project manager, okay, following processes, I fail in understanding and trying to be proactive on what's coming at you. The more that you can see up front, the easier it is for everybody. especially when we're dealing with something like the community. We are heading down a path that this Johnson County probably has never seen with mass irrigation change out like we're doing. We're taking advantage of technology, and we're able to put something in very effectively. So one of the things I want to make sure is that we become the experts, that the rest of the community comes to the cemetery and says, how did you guys go about doing this? What steps did you take? And we have very clear identifications of this is what you need to do. The other thing that I don't think we quite understand yet is how as a team do we measure our progress? And we may not know right now because we're early on in the project, and we won't know until we start working in more of the details. But we want to make sure that we're putting as much efficiency where we're making progress and making it visible so we don't lose sight of that. And by doing that, we ensure that there is consistency. We know that we're developing our team, because I would like this team here, the people that are doing, you know, to be the experts. You know, this is, we are walking into something that I don't think any of us really know how beneficial this can be. So I want to make sure that we continue to tell that story. I think we're going to find these installations go in a lot quicker than we think. I'm very impressed with PEX. That, to me, that's a huge jump in technology on the plumbing side that you want to take advantage of. The other thing.
What do you mean PEX?
It's what's poly being.
Pipe. Yeah,
it's the poly pipe. Okay. They use it in the housing industry, and that's what's stuck in my brain.
Okay. Well, I think we're really lucky to have Sean.
Well,
to be honest with him, because he is really actually making this happen.
Oh.
And we're saying thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, but it has been an absolute team effort, for sure. We all have our little hand in this pot, and I think that what you're touching on is very important to note, and I think that what you've asked for us to provide with this agreement between them, having that manufactured reps on site while we're doing this project is going to, you know, that's going to benefit the entire community, just like you're saying. So it's not just what we're doing here, but it's the, you know, the school, the golf course is going to be doing something similar. The hospital is going to be looking at something this, you know, down the road too. They've got landscaping things. So yeah, I think you're right in that we're kind of setting a stage and stepping out as a leader in the.
The other thing though is that I really do feel that the majority of the work can be done in-house, but what we need to understand is the manpower that's going to be associated with it. So do we need to know going into this season, do we need to hire headcount to be able to come in so we can keep this in-house as much as possible? I'm never opposed to using vendors, but in this particular case, because we need to be the experts, the best way that you can learn something new is I got to physically put it in. Okay. And it does, and it helps.
Do you want to touch on your labor plan, Sean?
Yeah, so what I've done, actually I'm just going to grab something real quick off of my desk.
Are you guys able to hear Sean? Barb?
Yeah.
Sheila and Liz?
So
we need to move him up next to Luke. So
here, Sean, come sit down.
Yeah. So,
good idea.
Labor plan.
Thanks, Sean.
You bet. So as far as our labor plan goes, what I've done is we've actually brought on an additional individual as of January. And he was seasonal. Now he's going to give us the 40-hour commitment from here on until the fall. He has, this is Brighton Brown, he's been here with us for a while, and he does have plans on attending college next fall, but we're going to use him. So we've kind of, what I've done is I've taken Brighton, and I've kind of consumed the rest of our seasonal budget with him. Okay. So that's where we're going to come into this amended portion down here. This is what I'm going to need in addition, and what that'll do is allow that, and this will just be, just as far as right now, this is just seasonal, so those are going to be the guys that are going to be out in the cemetery taking a lot of our daily duties that Paul and I would typically be doing day to day, the mowing, the supervising of it,
all the landscaping, the trees, the irrigation, all of the things that are normally happening. Braden Heller is kind of coming in a couple hours. He does an OJT with us. So he's got a lot of knowledge of how Paul and I work together, and so does Brighton. So Brighton and Braden are going to be kind of the, let's say, Paul Sean 2.0, and they're going to be kind of spearheading a lot of the daily duties. Mm-hmm. That's going to be their responsibilities. So then we've taken an additional number for, I'm going to say that maybe we bring on, and we have a couple of members of our community who have done big installations like this for companies in their prior work lives. They both live here in Buffalo, and we've talked to those guys about maybe some weekend or after work or their day off availability. Those guys kind of work shift work, and they're usually 3 to 4 days, so they're able to commit some more days, and they want to commit days to us. So we get a couple of guys at 80 hours a week for the next, for 3 months when we're ready for them. So say in March, we're ready. So we've got March, April, and May, or April, May, and June, depending on what that looks like, to have these gentlemen here, these two guys come in,
right.
for up to 12 weeks. And the, you know, giving them a fair wage, because this is a 1099 situation. We're not going to be pulling these guys in as employees. We're going to send them a 1099 at the end of the year. So we want to make sure that we're helping them to pay that tax bill, and that they're not, you know, fooled somehow at the end of that, and they end up having to pay back. So that is kind of our labor plan. We've got some additional hours and money labeled for that. So that's kind of our labor process, and it kind of gives us that buffer when we get to that point. Do we need to use these guys? Do we just need one of these guys periodically, and we're going to alternate? Because these guys might not be coming in at the same time. They may just be, you know, the aide, one steps out, the next guy comes in, and they'll both be familiar, but we're not having lots of different guys coming in to help.
Great foresight.
From day to day. So that's kind of what we put together and how we come up with those numbers for that.
Just for me, I don't think that's enough, to be honest with you.
Well, this is getting us to June, or through June.
Okay, so this would be in through the existing fiscal year.
So then when we come back to the drawing board with our next budget, if we need to keep those guys on for that situation, we'll know. We've had a 3-month test drive with them. We'll know if we've over budgeted. We'll know if we've under budgeted, as well as maybe we need a third, or maybe one is enough. So that's kind of, at this point, how we've wrapped our mind around additional labor and still getting our day-to-day tasks done.
And we'll still be able to afford our high school help.
Yes. Yep. Okay. It's all, everything is accounted for.
What's Brighton's last name?
Brighton Brown. And Braden Heller.
Braden.
And I want to call them both Brandon.
It is Brandon. It is Brandon.
That's hard.
Well, there is a Brandon. That's his uncle Brandon. And Braden is his nephew.
Oh.
And I feel like their moms just took the name Brandon and split it two different directions. So I've kind of got my own names for them.
Okay.
All right.
Good. You're kind of young. Yeah, problem.
This all just sounds so encouraging.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm positive. I mean,
I want you to know we are trying to stay out in front of this thing, you know, for sure. With all of these questions and concerns that come up, we like to hear them when you have them, so that before the next meeting, we can have the answers. So if any time, we're open to you guys, Paul or myself, for any questions. Call us, text us, and it doesn't even need to be during regular business hours. We're available. Just get a hold of us.
Thank you.
That's great. Thank you.
Then you had some stuff on measures of success, and how do we go about that?
Yeah, well, the two key ones that always come up, of course, is material costs and labor costs. So we've got those two identified. We're not quite sure what are the other measurements that we should be looking at. What kind of progress should we be expecting? Not necessarily on a daily basis, but how do we know this from a month to month?
Or year to year.
Year to
year. Such as our water usage
data
and the money spent on water before. Versus
how are we going to go and map this out so that people don't need to try and figure out where heads are, where valves are?
Our distributor is going to provide a print of that, and then we're going to binder that. As we go, we're going to create a binder or a user's installer's manual as we go. So what we would like to do down to the point that any valve or any fitting, any T, anything that's not just clean, straight pipe is going to have a GPS location.
Right.
Now, that's only going to get us within 3 feet of that, but 3 feet is a, man, I would love to be able to find some of this stuff within 3 feet right now. So,
so the did you talk to Jim Waller about that? Just while we're on that subject?
I've mentioned it to him, and I think he makes it sound like that would be something pretty simple to do.
But we're using a paper process.
This would be electronic, so this would be GIS with those data points in them.
Right, but we're giving the initial information or the initial layout is being done by a paper. Needs to be given to us electronically.
Yeah, and what'll happen is that, we'll end up, it's going to be a lot like our current GIS system, and he can take that, but he does it instead of as a whole county, he reduces it down to the cemetery, and he's like, well, there's your mapping, and we'll be able to probably, open that up and start looking at that as we, that'll be, down the road, down the road for sure.
And I understand that, and you still need to be able to gather the data first. Yep. But at some point we're going to, because at the end of, that's key. How many times
but
I've
that
heard.
Short of a fire, that's going to last.
Oh, without a doubt. Look, I don't.
So step by step.
You never never take away from what we use today as tools. This is more of an addition down the road so that when grandkids come in, they go, oh, that's how they get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked your ideas of, measures for success. Is it water usage? But I don't know that we have any good baseline data to be able to pull from, even labor hours or any of those sorts of things to measure. Like, what we know it's going to be better. We hope it's going to be better, I guess. But we don't know where we're starting. Which is frustrating to be there.
I think the only real measure as far as water usage is going to be the folks that are downstream from us.
Yeah.
They'll know if they have more water. Like last summer, we weren't using it, and the school was like, oh my God, we need to cut this thing back, But they can only send so much so fast.
Right.
So up at the head gate, they were thinking, well, boy, we got to choke this thing down, or we're going to have to dredge it out, hold more water, create a bigger reservoir, whatever. So
do the pump houses have the ability to determine how much water it's been pushed out?
Not at this time, but we could put a gauge in that would calculate that. Or
and record it. So there we go. There's our starting point for our first measurement to say this is what we're doing on a conservation standpoint. Because if we go back and we're able to get any dollars, I'm guessing, from the conservation, they're going to want to know, how are you measuring this? How do you know that you're saving water? Well, this is how we do it now.
And that could end up being our baseline data if we don't have any before.
Right. And we know we don't. A lot of this we know that we don't. So we have to create the baseline. The other thing is, and I don't know what all the measurements are going to be. I usually, when I've gone to teams and we've developed it, I always try to keep the measurements no more than six. You go beyond six and you've just now convoluted and everybody's focused on measurements. And they have to be what I call natural measurements. Right? It's what's already being done. We just need to be able to say, okay. So I see this as a works in progress. I see that we plant the seed now and how we want to take a look at that as a team and then know that we're going to continue to develop that as this project progresses.
Yes, the flow meter is probably not, I don't know how ditch rider determines how much water we're using.
They have a weir.
Oh, above and below
they
or something?
They use a weir.
Above the cemetery and below, so then we just compare those two.
Yeah, basically, they see what they're putting in and what their output is, I guess, is how that. I'm not the ditch rider. I don't know the technology, but I have visited with a few ditch riders, and I know that they do have an ability to calculate what's needed downstream.
But it's probably just going out.
So it's just at the weir.
Does this turn into, do we bring in a ditch rider?
So then that would be the last guy on the ditch says, I ain't got any water. That's the measurement.
We have to somehow be able to calculate how much we're using, right? Like, you get X number of acre feet or whatever.
Yeah,
or
the ditch rider knows that. And
that
would be something if you're interested in me finding that out. I know that John Hansen has done quite a bit of research on that, and he has come to the shop and volunteered that, you know, if he could be beneficial to this project in any way, he hoped that we would reach out to him.
I think that would be great.
Yeah.
Be interesting, too. That'll be really interesting to see how it all plays out.
You know, the other thing is what's our plan on how we start rolling this out? What sections get seen before?
So that...
And
it's on
we
the
had
map.
The,
is it on the map?
Yeah. I can show you real quickly what we're going to try to do is... Over here, this is our furthest point. That's the hardest to get your water. It is going to be uphill to the furthest point, and there's no trees up there to give us shade and conserve water that we've already put on the ground. So we really want to get some water up on what we're going to call the south end and the east end. The west isn't; it doesn't dry up as bad, but there are two blocks there that we're going to open up to. So. Or spring, put the sprinklers in first. So really, if you think about us, we're going to start here on this pump house, and we're going to do our big loop, and then we're going to start. We don't need to put in these 2-inch ones all at the same time. What we need to do is have the tees available. Then we'll start watering up here, where we know seasonally, come July and August, those are the dry spots that we fight all the time.
Right.
And also up on 106, not only is it in the sun, it's in the wind. So that dries out horribly up there. Those are the target spots for water, and then we'll work down in the old body of the cemetery as time allows. We'll work basically from the driest spots to the places that really don't need a lot of water. And as we're doing that, we're able to adjust those timers because we know those places don't need so much water. So we're not going to be watering it at the same amount of water for the same length of time as we are on the drier portions on the periphery.
Okay. That sounds like we're starting in a relatively simpler area, which also we don't want to go into a more complex area when we're learning something new.
Right.
So I like this approach
that
we are.
Block, and that's going to be, we're going to turn it on, and then we'll modify if needed throughout as far as sprinkler head placements. You know, we're going to learn a lot off that first block. And then again, we'll have a gauge there. We'll have a tool to estimate our time. We know how long it took us to do the first one. I'm just going to assume the last block we put in will take us a quarter of the time that the first one did.
So. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Any other questions or thoughts on the irrigation project?
We appreciate you, your time and your effort, you and Paul.
Thank you.
Please share that with us.
So do you feel, knowing that we're putting in this new system, that we can take advantage and leverage? And some of what I'm thinking of is we may have to create some temporary surface irrigation to be able to get into the dry spots.
Yep. We did some of that last summer, and we're prepared to do it again this summer. If we're not ahead of the heat, we'll have water up there.
Okay.
We manually watered all of our trees that were, our newbie trees, kind of nursery trees.
We watered all of those manually. Reached out to the city of Buffalo, and they were amazing in allowing us to draw off of their raw water right down here at Brzezinski Park. So it's raw water. We're not, you know, using chlorinated valuable water or treated. I don't know if it's chlorinated. I should say treated water. We're using raw water. They gave us access unlimited to that to do that. And it's just down the street, so we can fill our water tank in 15 seconds. We can get like 500 gallons of water. It's great. So same thing, we have a summer person that is seasonally, that's going to be their job. They'll rotate through it so they don't get burned out, but they'll, one of their jobs is to go around and hit those dry spots.
And I know the owners of those plots were very appreciative of
it was just getting almost emergent last year. It was very dry, and we just ran up there with a pump and a tank of water. It was not a big deal. Obviously, we don't want to do the whole cemetery like that forever, but we can come in with our rescue hat on and get those dry spots.
So with the phone calls I received, they were very happy with that service.
Well, and I think the other thing that we want to be able to demonstrate, and I think with this new system, we're going to see flexibility, that you're going to be able to go, you know what I can do? I can create a surface above ground sprinkling system that I can drag to pull your water from the existing main lines that are going to surround the cemetery.
Yep, most certainly. You
know, and there's a lot of options to be able to do that. So I think any time that we can take advantage of leveraging the new system that we're putting in, even if it's not for the initial design, we should do.
Yeah, and with that, that's why we've thought about putting in hydrants throughout the cemetery for, you know, public to access, as well as us. You know, there's many times we need water out there, and it'd be great to just be able to grab a water, you know, garden hose and tap in. Same thing. Something I haven't mentioned to the board, but will someday when we get a couple of irons out of the fire, we'd like to produce a nursery behind our shop. There's a lot of valuable real estate there that's not being used for really anything. We've cleaned all the stored items out of there. We're taking them up to a landing that we've created for equipment storage and contractor staging, so that stuff can get up out of there, out of sight, where the public doesn't need to, you know, deal with that. I would much rather pull it out of that shop and see a tree nursery that we knew that those trees are, we're building that in-house. We're not going to Landon's and buying trees for what, not to say Landon's, but specifically, but a nursery and buying their trees. We're creating our own, which is going to be a giant savings in the future for our community as well.
Okay, good.
It is awesome.
And then finally, I'm always going to say this about KC, and I have just learned that they prefer to have the desert scaping, but there's so much things that you could do to continue desert scaping by being able to get irrigation in there. There are no natural trees there. It's pretty barren. And so I think, you know, let's start planting the seed, saying, you know what, maybe you want to put some trees in. And if what they're trying to do is keep it native, keep it more of what the high desert looks like, well, then let's make sure that we put in those type of trees, those type of shrubs.
Prairie. Prairie.
Hey, Donetti, I saw in your report that you went around with Jacob McCarthy and looked at the trees. What do you have to relay from that interaction?
So he said the trees are actually looking really, really well. There's eight over the past years that have kind of withered away a little bit that are going to be replaced this year. And we did talk about placing new trees in different areas of the cemetery. And so I was able to visit with them and with Liz on where, because for right now with the way our drip system is and stuff like that, and with not having an actual irrigation system, it's kind of difficult and where the room is and that kind of thing. So their suggestion is when you're pulling into the cemetery directly to the left, that would be the best place to have four new trees. And then when you're continuing past the shop, on the right-hand side, the shop and the bathroom, behind
the fence line there, we could do another row of trees. When you get to the ends, and then you start to go to the left to continue into the cemetery, that fence line there, there's just not enough room between the road and the fence line to plant trees there.
Danette, one thing that I didn't ask you, and I don't know if you know or Sean knows, but is the fence line on the property line?
Yeah, there. So you know where we have the trees and such like that, and you know how there's that little crick in the fence line there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's exactly where the fence line, that's where our property line is.
Okay, so again, and on the other side also?
On the other side?
On the south side?
Yeah, the fence line is on our border, is exactly where our markers are. And okay. In years past, you know how there's just that little jig-jog in the fence line? They have asked that rancher that owns that property if we could purchase just from that jig-jog down, and it's been said, please don't ask us again.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's...
Yeah, I wondered, yeah, about
yeah.
that.
Great, so you have a plan, and we're kind of working forward with that plan, it sounds like. Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
One thing that Danette said is like we need to move some dirt on the, if we want trees on the, it would be on the east side, and kind of rework that soil and amend it so it would, you know, trees would have a better chance of surviving there. So that's something that would probably take some equipment, like maybe this new skid steer that we have or something like that to get done.
We'll have that skid steer down there in hopes of a new cemetery front entry to drill holes for the pipe stem, and we'll just move some dirt around at the time.
Yeah, that would be really great. And then Danette, find out whatever you need from, to put into the soil, and we can take care of that, I don't know, either at that time or however you want to do that.
Okay. Yeah, because where you're talking, those trees there on that east side, that whole hill of extra dirt has to be moved. And then that land needs to be rototilled up and worked in with some minerals and some things. And that's not a 2024 project for trees, but possibly a 2025 project for trees, because it's just the ground is... You have to build it up a little bit more because it's just not nutrients enough to harvest any trees right now.
Yeah, so in 2024, if we, start amending that soil and getting it ready, then the next year we can plant some trees there.
Correct.
Yep, that sounds great. And you had a nice list of kind of native type things that would grow there, so... That was nice.
Yeah, and I got with Anita, yesterday, she's already ordered those 8 trees. So we've got those already in the works. So she's got some Canada red cherry trees, burnt oak, Fraser firs, and a Japanese lilac tree.
Oh, I like the sounds of all of those. Thank you for that work, Danette. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Wes.
Yeah, I think the important thing, and I think maybe where you're getting at is getting with Bob, is that we want to make sure that we're taking care of the KC Cemetery, as we're investing quite a bit of money here in Buffalo. We certainly want you guys to be taken care of down there, and how do we get it out to the community down there, what we're doing to help them understand that we are improving their cemetery too. And I'm sure they'll see that over time, especially with the new front entrance, with the trees and all the work that you're doing, Danette. So... but if you have other ideas, either of you, let us know.
And feedback from the community so that we can better help give the tools in the southern part that they need.
How often do we go to KC for a meeting?
Once a year.
Once a year.
So far, once a year, maybe.
What we said.
Once a year in August, usually.
Yeah, this year we didn't get it done until September, right? Or October.
I believe
it was late. But,
I don't remember.
Before the snow started. Everyone down here will be talking as soon as we start putting up that new entrance.
Yeah.
You know, I personally don't mind doing more meetings down there if we figure it's twice a year. I mean, I'm perfectly fine.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a need for it. If I feel there's a need, I'll ask. And Danette, you could do the same thing.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Danette, it's hard for you sometimes. As I remember you saying you actually traveled down there. Had to take the day off work up here or whatever, so. But yeah, absolutely, let us know if there's something we can better do. All right.
But thanks, Bob, about us.
Oh, always. Always.
Thank you.
Anything else on that you wanted to visit about, Bob?
No, I think we've covered those key items, and we made such good progress.
Yeah.
But we still need to continue to make sure we're doing that.
Good. So no new business unless anyone has any, and I don't know of anything for executive session, so I think we can adjourn this meeting if someone would make that motion.
I move that we adjourn this meeting at 2:50.
I second.
A motion and second to adjourn. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So then we'll go directly into our...
Can we...
So we'll open up the amended budget hearing, and there's a proposal that Sean passed on to Shanda to put into our format there. As you'll see on the right-hand side of the very last two pages of the financial packet there, she has kind of put in the additional thing. So the first thing you see there is that our fiscal year 23-24 money that we'll receive from property taxes has actually gone up about $100,000.
Yeah, remember we had the estimated assessed value we were using was less than what came back, and it was this almost $100,000 difference. So that the budget we sent to the state didn't include that because that came afterwards, but we've been running it in our working budget, so we knew where we were.
Right. So that's there, which will take away some of the additional reserves that we have to use. The hourly summer employees was updated by $17,200 to account for the additional work of Brighton and Braden. Is that correct? That's where that
came from. It'll also carry our additional mowers crew from basically the month of June and maybe a little bit after school. Hours in May, so
okay.
Pretty minimal for that, but that's mostly Brighton and Braden, yes.
To help with the installation. And then on the second page there, notice that...
Can I interrupt just
yes,
one
please.
Second. One thing I did
you
not add,
just
I just thought of, is payroll taxes and workers' comp.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be about 10% of that 17,000, so about 1,700 to 2,000 additional there that I didn't add in.
Do you think we need to, or will be able to?
I think we'll be okay. I think there's probably enough legal room other places that will be all right.
And Sheila, I think you were prepared to do this. I'm stealing your thunder, so
no,
you use Zuri and go ahead.
I don't have my packet.
Oh, okay.
And I couldn't see it online, so I don't know. Nothing was working.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong as I go through here.
Yeah,
or
well,
you have thoughts? So, and then on the bottom of our capital outlay there, the KC entry gate was adjusted there or put in there to have its own budget.
For the gate?
Of $20,000. The cremation garden, what did we do there? Why did we amend that?
I removed 140 of the 150 that we had budgeted there and left 10,000.
Which is, will that cover what our project?
I guess there.
It will. What we'll do is it'll cover the work that'll be done up till June, and then there'll probably be an additional amount beyond June in our next.
Because we have all that flat work to do.
Yeah, it'll cover. So we have about 25,000 probably of flat work to do
And I'm not sure that that's going to happen until June or July. So how do you want to handle that?
Well, if it's expended in next fiscal year, it will be on next fiscal year's budget.
The tin will be fine for now, okay. I say.
Okay. So we just moved around. Chandler,
yeah.
Why don't you do this? I feel like I'm... Go ahead, tell... How'd you... Do you want to come over here so these guys can hear you?
Sure. So
that would be great.
Thank you.
Do you think I'll remember that that bridge right there?
So make these numbers in the capital outlay not negative, because I know some people don't like to see that. I added $91,750 to the equipment.
And that's just to account for the skid steer and stuff we already bought.
Yep, exactly. And then for the sprinkler upgrade, I added another $244,000 to the $50,000 that was already there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So there's an additional expenditure with all of these movements of $232,950. We had... And I should have put this information on there. I just looked. In our submitted budget, we had $110,000 of cash carryover. And we were going to pull $51,000 out of reserves to make up the deficit that we already showed in our original budget. So by doing this math, it looks like we need to pull out another $133,000 out of reserves. And the change is that additional almost $100,000 that we're getting from... Supposed to be getting from the county due to the actual assessed value. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have to plug it in the budget form because it kind of does some things a little funky, but I'm pretty confident that these numbers are going to be accurate.
And this is that number here
yes.
you're talking about.
Yep.
Okay. Now, is this additional dollar revenue that we get?
Supposedly.
Or is... Okay.
Because, like I said, when we did our budget, it was before the true assessed value was set,
okay.
and we estimated lower
right.
than what it actually was.
Yeah. So that's good.
Yes.
Yeah. So these are dollars coming in.
Supposed to be.
Not dollars that we owe for taxes on ongoing. Wait,
no,
we
took
taxes, so. Okay.
The additional
good.
Mill, or the additional amount, what was it, 3/4 mil or something, so we were at the mill. So we didn't have to true up and pay back the mineral taxes.
Okay.
I did double check the flat work estimate and that tin's fine.
Okay.
So we'll be able to get our flat work through that.
Okay, and again, keep in mind that this budget runs us through June 30th.
Yep. So cremation garden wise, I'll probably put on the next budget some money for just landscape items and whatnot, but that's... This number you put in there is perfect.
Okay.
And some of that landscape, I mean, at least the sprinkler input and stuff, we probably, hopefully we'll be able to get out of this, maybe,
mm-hmm.
out of the sprinkler
system.
Right,
we'll
upgrade. Yeah.
It's all going to work.
The thing that's nice about this is it's only a material expense when we put in new sprinklers. We don't have to worry about any labor at that point.
Labor.
Because we've got, but it's internal labor.
Right.
We're not having to rely on a vendor. So
mm-hmm.
it's more of organizing the team, and so yeah, I like this.
So we have to ask for public comment twice.
It doesn't say that for the amendment.
The amendment.
I looked. There is no script
any,
for the amendment.
So any public comment, Kate?
No. He's going to ask you again.
Yeah, that's right. Perfect. So
anybody online? Public wise?
No, I don't think so.
So, any further discussion before we make a motion to approve the amended budget as presented?
Just elation.
Yeah.
Excitement.
Yeah.
It's not, yep.
So I move that we approve the budget as amended.
Okay. Motion?
I second.
And second. Okay, all those in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. So motion to adjourn the special budget amended hearing.
A motion that we adjourn the special budget meeting.
I'll second that motion.
So motion a second. All those in favor, aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
All right. Well, thank you guys.
Hey,
thanks everybody.
I do have a question about the budget that has nothing to do with the amendment. I just have a question. You know,